stress and anxiety associated with watching the U.S. men's national team on the World Cup stage or in qualifying. It's all coming back to me now. It's never easy. And it's never 6-2 like England's result in its World Cup debut. But that's okay. Anything worth having is worth sacrificing for. And anything worth having is worth the blood, sweat, the tears, all the effort. And one thing Americans are known for on the world stage is fitness, is effort, is the relentless determination. And so I'm really excited that we're off and running. First World Cup game for the United States of America in 8 years. And the goal in the first half was well worth the wait. It was a loss that was a draw. It was a loss disguised as a draw. I was discouraged by the way the game ended, and it certainly was a missed opportunity, but I keep reminding myself that Team USA is young. Only one member of the team has any World Cup experience. Coaching staff has some, but that doesn't help when you're out there on the pitch as much. And so it was a really cool atmosphere. I got chills more than once seeing the red, white, and blue in Qatar, hearing the chants of USA, USA. That was amazing. And then being able to cheer for our team on this international stage, also really exciting. So as the U.S. men's national team finally returns to the World Cup after 8 years, we will welcome back former pro goalie Jesse Bradley, who's played in countries like Zimbabwe and Scotland, where soccer, their football, is the lifeblood. And I'll ask him, why does this draw with Wales and our debut feel more like a loss? It's the one time in sports when I can say we and our. Why does this draw feel more like a loss for us? And how does the U.S. recover in time for England? Because that is coming up the day after Thanksgiving. I don't mind telling you that I have rearranged my schedule for Friday around the match that will begin at 2 o'clock Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific time. So, yes, we're psyched to welcome back Jesse Bradley. He'll talk World Cup from Seattle, that soccer-crazed city in the Pacific Northwest. He will join us an hour from now. I don't know if you watched, whether it be the live broadcast, whether it be on tape or on DVR. It certainly was up against a game in the NFL that was competitive in the first half, but got away from Arizona. And we saw San Francisco put the pedal to the metal in the second half relatively quickly. So maybe then you turned over and watched some of Team USA against Wales. Producer Jay watched it on tape delay. Did you manage to avoid any of the results or the analysis or the reaction when you watched the game on your DVR?
Yeah, luckily I actually had no spoilers.
You knew nothing. Nothing at all.
I knew absolutely nothing.
Wow.
I went on, avoided social medias, avoided family, avoided company, avoided anything.
You avoided company?
Watched the game.
I did not allow anyone near me when I was watching the game.
No, needed that space.
Is that something that you can do with, say, Giants football or no?
No, football, no. I'm always there watching the whole slate of 1 o'clock. But, you know, say like a basketball game or a hockey game, I could normally do that pretty okay. I'm pretty good at avoiding social media if I have to. But, yeah, so I was able to and watch the game, you know, a couple hours later, but had no idea. So it was like it was the same. It was cool.
I generally have family and friends who will text me about games or events that are going on, but not soccer. I think because of the time of day and the fact that it's Thanksgiving week, so I already have a bunch of friends and family who are on vacation, and so they're kind of checked out of their regular routines. No one bothered to text me about soccer. I'm not sure that anyone else in my family and friends was watching, but I do know that social media was lit up with probably 85%, maybe 80% soccer during the window that Team USA was playing in Qatar. And so we're going to talk about it. We're going to hear from Greg Berhalter, the manager about this tale of two halves. Also, the goalie, Matt Turner, who made a phenomenal save in the second half, early in the second half, with this perfectly timed leap and a punch of the ball over the crossbar. It was headed for the back of the net above his head, and he was able to punch it perfectly timed again up over the crossbar and out of bounds. But then he also had to face Gareth Bale, the star for Wales, in a penalty kick situation, PKs, and that's tough on the world stage, especially against a player of Bale's caliber. So we'll hear from Matt Turner, Tim Weah, who scores the first U.S. goal in the World Cup since 2014, and also captain Tyler Adams on the fact that they weren't able to close it out. They were so, so close, as in tantalizingly close to picking up 3 points. And then in about the 82nd, 83rd minute, they give up this penalty kick. And yes, disappointing. As I say, it's one of those ties that to me feels more like a loss because of what could have been. But that's soccer. Let's be fair. That is soccer. And if you know anything about it, in fact, it's very similar in terms of its feel and in terms of its scoring to hockey. Now, I know more recently what we've seen from the NHL are rules that open up scoring and facilitate more offense. But isn't it very similar? In the NHL, you can dominate a game and ultimately end up in a draw and feel like you lost. Or you can dominate a game and lose on one moment in which things broke down. So soccer's very similar in terms of that type of intensity and that type of tight scoring. Just by its nature, basketball and football are so different. Though I suppose over the weekend, the two games we had that were 3-3 going into the fourth quarter, it could have felt similar to that. So we will talk about the U.S. and its return to the World Cup. And you'll hear from the various characters, actors that I mentioned. These are not actors. These are real people. That caveat you see on commercials sometimes. And then, of course, we're going to talk about the NFL and the wrap-up to Week 11, only to see Week 12 kick off in mere hours. Happy Thanksgiving week to you. If you've not yet checked out our brand new video on YouTube, it features all the staples. Family, friends, food, fun, football, baby. And also, you are exposed, as in exposed like you're on the internet in your undies. Please don't get on the internet in your undies. If all you do is comment on the article of clothing that I'm wearing and you don't get the story, well, you look foolish, ill-informed. So how about watch the video before you comment on what I'm wearing, or not, and just look foolish. That's totally fine. Thank you for your questions, of course. And to make sure that producer Jay has an even happier Thanksgiving, please like and subscribe to our YouTube channel, After Hours with Amy Lawrence on YouTube. But the video is on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and also it's pinned at the top of our Facebook page. So hope that you will check that out. Special holiday delivery for you this Thanksgiving week. And we're going to have our poll for Touchdown Tuesday. We're looking for the TD of the week. If you haven't yet voted in our morbid, miserable, mortified Monday poll, sometimes even without football, Mondays are miserable and mortifying and morbid. Not this one, though, I think because we're marching toward Thanksgiving. But if you haven't yet voted in our Monday mortification poll, well, you can do that on Twitter as well. Also on our Facebook page, lots of you weighing in there. There's so much happening this week. Love it. Absolutely love it. As soon as the show is done, I'm making a beeline for the grocery store, hoping that at 6:30 Eastern time, there will not be a bazillion people there. Not buying a turkey, not buying a lot of the staples, but I do need to buy some pumpkin. Sometimes cans of pumpkin can be hard to come by at this point in the week. And also need to get a few other baking items as well as refried beans. I mean, you can ask, but I'm not going to tell you right now. Maybe I'll tell you a little bit later on. I explained the whole thing to producer Jay. Actually, he was thrilled to hear my story, I'm sure, when I was talking.
I was into it.
Jason, anything that has to do with food, let's be fair, especially when he doesn't have dinner.
Yeah, right now.
Is your growly stomach going to ruin the show?
No, I hope not, but
is it going to distract you?
We'll see. I got like a Three Musketeers.
Wait, hold on. Wait, time out. Pause. Did you just say we'll see?
Yes.
When I asked you whether or not it's going to ruin the show?
I mean,
no, that's,
hours from now, I can't tell.
That's the wrong answer.
Of its
when
own.
I ask you whether or not it's going to ruin the show, we'll see is unacceptable.
I don't know what you want, no, I suppose. We'll,
no, you know exactly what I want. Wrong answer. Let's have a better answer.
Of course it won't ruin the show. I'm going to get Thank food you. In me and be ready Ooh, to go.
Are we going to get some food?
We should get some
food. We should get
so we don't ruin the show.
Stop it! Why would you even speak that into existence? First of all, you
that
can't ruin the show. Because from this point forward, you're not allowed at the microphone. Turn off the mic.
I mean, I control the buttons.
Oh. You want to play that game? Would you like to play that game?
Nah, we don't have to play that
game. I didn't think that was a game you'd like to play. Ultimately, that's a game you'd lose, Producer Jay. So I wouldn't if I were you.
I'm just hungry is all.
He's hangry. This is why he's messing with me right now. He's trying to press my buttons because he's hangry. How long until your food order gets here?
I don't think I'm hangry. I'm just delirious.
Well, messing with me about who controls my mic is hangry. That's not a good idea.
No anger. That,
you know, I could take back your Christmas present, so I wouldn't.
Nah, don't do that.
Okay, well, see, if you don't respond to don't ruin the show, then maybe respond to don't, what's that called? Don't, not sacrifice, don't forego your Christmas present with one really bad decision.
I see your point.
It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. By the way, some very intuitive listener / viewer commented on our video, poor Producer Jay. See, I told you this is what people think.
Why is that?
This is what people think because you have to work with me.
I mean, did he give a reason?
You're stuck with me.
Because of my face?
It's jail. You can't possibly go take another job or anything. You're stuck here.
Not the case, but I'm curious as to why he wrote poor Producer Jay. Because it could be a multitude of reasons.
Could it?
It really could.
Oh, like what?
We don't have time for this.
Oh, I get it. So there could be a multitude of reasons why people should feel sorry for you, but we don't have time for it right now.
Exactly.
Wow. He definitely needs some food before I punch him.
Fair.
I will, for now, just chalk this up to the fact that you're really hungry. Yeah. But your Christmas present's going to my brother. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance yours, Rocket Mortgage can help you get there. For home loan solutions that fit your life, Rocket can. So, yes, find us on Twitter, After Hours CBS. Also on our Facebook page, Monday Night Football reps the end of Week 11. From Estadio Azteca, actually, in Mexico City. This was some kind of atmosphere. I love the international flair on this edition of After Hours. From Qatar against Wales and the World Cup, which is the grandest stage in sports, to Mexico City, where we generally do have now one game a year, though during COVID things changed a little bit. But yeah, this was another one of those Wild Wild West matchups that takes over prime time. The San Francisco 49ers with an opportunity to grab first place in the West Division. I love the ebbs and flows of a full season. And this is across the board in any sport. You are what your record says you are. But in pro sports, there is always time. Even if it feels like the season is shorter, right? We're heading into week 12 of 18. It can feel like it's flying by at breakneck speed. And yet, as we've heard guys like Tom Brady say and others, even when you get to double digits, week 10, week 11, everything that you want is still in front of you. And it's even more so this season in the NFL with entire divisions separated by three games, four games. My gosh, in the case of the AFC East, they're all above 500, but all four teams are separated by one lousy, measly game. We've got some really incredible races atop divisions like the NFC West. We've got fights to the finish, grand finales. And even as we head into what I think we could legit call the stretch run, the standings are fascinating to me because I'm a total nerd, as in total nerd. And so now that the dust will start to settle on week 11, here's my question to you. Even before we dive into Monday Night Football from Estadio Azteca. In fact, we might even label it Trust Me Tuesday, because we'll be heading into a Tuesday. We're going to kick Monday in the rear end and say, get thee behind me, Satan. We're going to ask you to identify the three teams that you trust the most in the NFL. Because every team has fatal flaws, and every team has a really bad loss on its resume already. So through 11 weeks, not every team has had their byes, which means some teams have actually played 11 games. Which teams do you trust? Which teams put on an incredibly pressure-packed stage would you have the most faith in? So that's the question for this edition of the show. Should be easy, right? Vote in our Mortification Monday poll. Those would be the teams that, you know, might have seen your faith or their faith take a hit. And then the top three teams that you are trusting the most. So I suppose you could call these the after hours power rankings, but we do things differently around here. So as we head into a Trust Me, just Trust Me Tuesday, which three teams in the NFL do you have the most confidence in to play like they need to when the pressure is ratcheted up? Because believe you me, it's about to be ratcheted up. So again, on Twitter, After Hours CBS, producer Jay will put up a spot if he's not busy ruining the show because he's hangry. Also on our Facebook page. And then coming up, we'll dive into, pick apart, analyze, react to, all of those things. Monday Night Football from Mexico. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Garoppolo in the shotgun, three receivers left. Jimmy, a low snap. Get a cock and throw, and it is caught by Brandon Ayuk in the end zone. Ah, no, Tassion, San Francisco. Touchdown, San Francisco. They go empty with Garoppolo in the gun. They stack McCaffrey behind Ayuk right. Bunch formation left with Jennings and Kittle. Jimmy got pressure. Going to tuck and now throw on the run. It is caught by George Kittle. Breaks a tackle. Five. Touchdown! San Francisco!
Off the field, on the money, and after hours, it's time to talk football with Amy Lawrence.
Ooh, San Francisco with a little flair in Espanol from Greg Papa. And is it Tim Ryan on Niners radio? I'm sure someone will correct me if I got that wrong. Sometimes I get the names mixed up. But the San Francisco 49ers jumped out to a 2-score lead early in this game in Mexico City against the Arizona Cardinals. No Kyler Murray in this one. Instead, Colt McCoy starting again. And Jimmy G, you look around at the weapons that he's got. When these Niners are healthy, you do not want to underestimate the options on this San Francisco roster. But there are certainly playmakers for the Cardinals, too. And man, DeAndre Hopkins leading the NFL in receptions and receiving yards since he returned from his suspension. Already a good rapport between Colt McCoy and DeAndre Hopkins. The amount of time they've worked together, couple of seasons now, it's huge. But DeAndre is the type of receiver that makes every quarterback better. And because of that, we saw a strong third down conversion rate for the Cardinals in the opening half.
First and goal on the two. They put McCoy in the gun. Connor to his right. 4:25 to go in the half. Snap to McCoy. Hand off Connor. Up the middle. Lowers the shoulder. Drives the feet. Touchdown. James Connor gets in. And the Cardinals are back within five. And the extra point coming with 4:19 to play in the first half.
That's Dave Pasch on Cardinals radio. So, yes, it was a 17-10 lead for the Niners at the half. And people talking about how competitive this game. And I'm feeling happy for Colt McCoy, but also Jimmy Garoppolo and some of the others who have gotten healthy now. The atmosphere there in Mexico City was a lot of fun. The time that I've spent in countries in the Caribbean, in Central America, in South America, they do not understand American football. In fact, when I talk about it, I have to say football Americano or football de Americano, because their football is our soccer, obviously. Everywhere else in the world, football means something different. But what they love, and again, this is Cuba, it's Ecuador, it's Mexico, what they love is the excitement, the adrenaline. And I remember when I was a teenager falling in love with the adrenaline rush of an NFL game, a fourth quarter comeback. That's why I became a football fan before I understood any of the rules. I do love that we're sharing that excitement, that adrenaline, and growing the game on the international stage. But I swear if we ever have a Super Bowl in another country, I will protest. Unless it's Ireland and we can take our show on the road to Ireland.
Well, if we can take our show on the road there.
Maybe I'll make an exception.
Maybe.
It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Turning point in this game early in the second half for the Niners.
First and 10, 49ers. Jake Brendel with a towel here. And rain right at kickoff. Throws it to the side. Ayuko's in long motion. No one following. The lone back is Elijah Mitchell. It's a play action. A flip to Debo. Coming back the other way. Left led by Croft and Trent Williams and Ayuk. Breaks the tackle. 20, 10, 5. Debo Samuel all the way into the end zone for a touchdown. Anote. Tentacion, San Francisco.
Touchdown, baby. I love that he practiced his Espanol on the call.
Tentacion.
That was the opening drive of the second half for the Niners. 8 plays, 4.5 minutes, 75 yards, and Brandon Ayuk with the capper. Kyle Shanahan really does have a lot of versatility at his disposal. Again, when the Niners are healthy, and it's up to Garoppolo to A, take care of the football. That's the most important thing. B, to distribute the football and to keep balance with the offense. He's a veteran quarterback, so he is able to go through his reads and his progressions like any veteran should be able to do, as long as he's got a few seconds there behind the offensive line. And I like the mix. I like the mix that we saw between the run with the pass, the various weapons that he was using, and that makes it so much more complicated for a defense. Debo Samuel, what did he call himself last year? A wide back. Got the contract that he wanted with the Niners. And that 39-yard rushing TD up the left side in the third quarter definitely set a tone. The second half, 21 points. So 3 touchdowns for the Niners, but no points for the Arizona Cardinals. That was the turning point. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Definitely a cool atmosphere. A lot of guys talking about it after the game. But just as importantly now with this victory, and it turned into a blowout because of the second half, the Niners have moved into first place. 3-game win streak. Once they found their footing and added Christian McCaffrey, this became a different team. And I do think that the steadiness, the poise, the reliability of Jimmy Garoppolo makes a major difference. I'm not telling you it wouldn't be happening with Trey Lance, only that he would be in his first year starting. He's extremely athletic. They had different designs for this offense, but they've added a lot of pieces, which means that around Garoppolo, you've got options. And every team is better with healthy options. Kyle Shanahan tried to quit Jimmy Garoppolo in the offseason, tried during the preseason and training camp. It didn't happen. And now, look, they're in first place.
I think Jimmy's doing a great job.
Great job.
I think Jimmy always has. When Jimmy's been healthy out there, we've had our guys around him. I think he plays at a very high level. And I think he did that today as good as he has. So very fortunate to have him.
Very fortunate to have him. Such a change. Such a shift. Life comes at you fast in the NFL. 20 of 29 for Garoppolo. 228 yards, 4 touchdowns, and a QB rating that was near 132. And I don't know how people feel about dropping the phrase Super Bowl in week 11/12. We heard Jerry Jones do it, though Jerry isn't on the field. He's in the locker room sometimes, but he's not part of that inner circle, the inner sanctum for most of the time with the Dallas Cowboys. So maybe it's okay that he's fronting and using the term Super Bowl. Jimmy was asked by reporters in Mexico City about the defense and whether or not this Niners defense that pitched a shutout against the Cardinals after the break reminded him of the defense that had that 10-point lead in the Super Bowl a couple seasons ago.
Defense was reminding me of that year for sure. 0 points in the second half in 3 straight games. That's pretty impressive. So definitely some resemblance there. But I think offensively, we got a little ways to go still. We left some meat on the bone there for sure.
I mean, why don't we double down then? Kyle Shanahan, in an exchange with reporters, didn't realize that teams that go to Mexico City and win got quite a track record.
Did you know that 3 of the 4 teams that won in Mexico finished that season playing the Super Bowl?
I did not know that.
How about that?
Let's keep that going. Exactly. We should have it here.
What? No, we shouldn't. I can't believe he said that.
Get out of here.
No, we should not have it in Mexico City. No, negative Ghost Rider. Do you know how hard it is to, could you imagine, Marco Belletti's here in studio, how hard it is to bid and to secure these rights to Super Bowls? And it generally follows a pattern of not only those who've had successful hosting opportunities in the past, but also those places who build new stadiums. So the NFL guarantees that when owners build a new stadium within 2 or 3 years of opening the stadium, they will have a Super Bowl. It's an economic boon to whatever city gets it, except for Tampa during the pandemic. But even then, there was an influx of people. Could you imagine if the league just picked it up and moved it to Mexico City?
I wish I could say I would be stunned. I wouldn't be. If they could find a way to make money off of it, they'll do it. If they could find a way to make more money off of it, they'll do it. It's probably coming. Whether it's there, whether it's England or Germany or whatever, if they could find a way to squeeze 10 cents more out of it, they will put it on the moon if they have to.
Well, that'd be kind of hard for fans to travel. We'd have to send a convoy of space shuttles. Elon Musk with those rockets when we need him? He's busy right now.
Maybe we're getting there. It's kind of nuts, but it's true. The NFL is never satisfied. No company really is. But anything that can make a couple of more dollars, they will figure out a way to monopolize that.
Super cool atmosphere, though, in Mexico City. And awesome for Fred Warner, who has Mexican blood in his family.
It feels amazing. Shout out to all the fans here today. They were amazing all game long. Outstanding. The show out was incredible. They showed so much love, and I'm happy we were able to put out the performance that we did for them. Electric, goosebumps, so special. So I'm going to remember this forever. I'm going to make sure I go around and thank everybody. But, man, it's so special to be here.
That was just one of the coolest experiences I've been a part of. I mean, it was so neat last year going to playing in L.A. and seeing a whole red stadium in a stadium that wasn't yours, and then coming a lot farther to Mexico City and it being just the same. We were told it might be like that, but it was even better than we expected. Just walking in the hotel, seeing everyone, leaving to the game today, seeing the people on the streets, and then walking in that stadium. It was one of my favorite games to be a part of.
Kyle Shanahan, Fred Warner, Jimmy Garoppolo, others, George Kittle having the time of his life, being able to meet a pro wrestler who's Mexican that was there at the game and gave him a mask that he had on during his post-game press conference. So, yeah, neat experience, neat is the word that Kyle Shanahan used. And we've got a decided international flair on this edition of After Hours. We're going to get to Team USA returning to that World Cup stage in Qatar and what they do moving forward after a draw against Wales. So that's straight ahead. Also, reaction from Cliff Kingsbury, Colt McCoy, who eventually got pulled in this game when it was a foregone conclusion that the Cardinals would lose. And for you to think about and find us on social heading into a Trust Me Tuesday, just trust me, trust me. Which three teams, we'll say three teams, give us the three teams that you trust the most right now through week 11. And Marco, we'll think about it. Are you going to be here in an hour?
I don't know.
What? Okay, well, then you're going to have to send us a tweet like everybody else.
Okay.
So we're thinking about those three teams that we trust the most, because every team really have big blips or blow-up games, fatal flaws. On Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. It's After Hours.
How do we measure road trips? In miles traveled and memories made. In scenic views and back roads that don't show up on your GPS. And in the wrong turns that turn out to be the right decisions. It's not about how far you can go, but how far you're inspired to move. The 2023 Kia Niro Hybrid goes the extra mile with class-leading 53 mpg combined. Farther for all. The all-new 2023 Kia Niro Hybrid. Kia. Movement that inspires. 2023 Niro HEV SX fuel economy claim based on EPA estimated combined fuel economy for entry CUV class. Actual mileage will vary with options, driving conditions, driving habits, and your vehicle's conditions. FuelEconomy.gov for more details. How do we measure road trips? In miles traveled and memories made. In scenic views and back roads that don't show up on your GPS. And in the wrong turns that turn out to be the right decisions. It's not about how far you can go, but how far you're inspired to move. The 2023 Kia Niro Hybrid goes the extra mile with class-leading 53 mpg combined. Farther for all. The all-new 2023 Kia Niro Hybrid. Kia. Movement that inspires. 2023 Niro HEV SX fuel economy claim based on EPA estimated combined fuel economy for entry CUV class. Actual mileage will vary with options, driving conditions, driving habits, and your vehicle's condition. See FuelEconomy.gov for more details. How do we measure road trips? In miles traveled and memories made. In scenic views and back roads that don't show up on your GPS. And in the wrong turns that turn out to be the right decisions. It's not about how far you can go, but how far you're inspired to move. The 2023 Kia Niro Hybrid goes the extra mile with class-leading 53 mpg combined. Farther for all. The all-new 2023 Kia Niro Hybrid. Kia. Movement that inspires. 2023 Niro HEV SX fuel economy claim based on EPA estimated combined fuel economy for entry CUV class. Actual mileage will vary with options, driving conditions, driving habits, and your vehicle's conditions. See FuelEconomy.gov for more details.
It's with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Jimmy G waits for the snap. He's got it back to pass. Throws left side. Caught by Ayuk on the slant. Across the five. Pops into the end zone. Touchdown, San Francisco. Second touchdown catch of the night for Brandon Ayuk. And with 28 seconds to go in the third quarter, it's now a 20-point San Francisco lead.
Here's a boot roll first by Garoppolo left. Wide open is George Kittle down the left sideline. Kittle will break a tackle. Take it all the way to the end zone. Touchdown! San Francisco! How did George Kittle score there?
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Ryan Radke, along with Mike Golic, calling this Monday Night Football game in Mexico City for Westwood One. And then Greg Papa with the second touchdown for George Kittle, who you want to talk about weapon and difference maker. When he's healthy and he's on the field, he can be just as valuable as a Travis Kelce is to Kansas City.
I just try to have a fun energy out there, have a fiery spirit. And I think guys vibe with that and guys go off of that. Whether we're being physical out there or whether we're having a good time, once we get going, the whole group on offense seems to flow together.
Plenty of reasons to like what you saw from the Niners offensively in this game. So winning 38-10 over Arizona. And this is despite the fact that Arizona had far more snaps, had a lot more plays. But ultimately, in fact, even had more yards, but had more passing yards than did the San Francisco 49ers. They were 1-for-2 in the red zone. They had an extra 2 minutes with the football. Those stats can be deceiving, and the Niners were far more productive with their opportunities than were the Cardinals. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio, on Facebook, on Twitter, After Hours CBS. We've already got a poll up and running, our Monday mortification. the Vikings clearly at this point have a sizable lead, but still it's been interesting to see your reaction. And a new question heading into a Trust Me Tuesday, who are the three teams that you feel most confident in through week 11? Who are the three teams that you are a little more comfortable trusting, though it is the NFL and anything can and usually does happen? So again, on Twitter, on Facebook, we're happy to connect with you. We'll get our Touchdown Tuesday poll up at some point as well. The Niners are now in first place in the NFC West, but the Cardinals, despite giving Kyler Murray the fat contract, he misses the second game. I know he's still dealing with a hamstring injury. They were without DeAndre Hopkins for, six games. And he's returned now. It's just not coming together the way that they anticipated. And it's been a scuffle for them on offense. Though Cliff Kingsbury points out they had plenty of chances.
Thought we had some opportunities to make some plays. Obviously, the fourth downs, not getting those hurt us and really put us behind. The interception there was tough, but that's a really good team. We knew we'd have to play, you know, as good as we played all year. And I thought they played really physical in that second half and found a way to make plays.
We've been here for 2 days. The people have been super nice. It's just a bummer we didn't find a way to win that game, but San Francisco played hard. They're a good football team, and we just didn't make enough plays. So, but for the crowd, for the atmosphere, being able to play internationally in Mexico City, I thought it was fantastic.
Colt McCoy starting a second consecutive game for the Cardinals. He goes 24 of 34, has over 200 yards passing, did have a first half interception that led to a touchdown. Though, again, this was a 7-point game at the half. He was also sacked 3 times, so the Niners had plenty of opportunities to hit him and hit him hard. Really, the defense, fantastic in this one, pitching a shutout in the second half when they were in possession of the football. They were able to take advantage. And I like the power. I like the efficiency. Jimmy Garoppolo clearly on his game. So find us again on Twitter, A-Law Radio, on our Facebook page, and we'll get back to the NFL and week 11 now in the books, if you can believe it. And it's coming quickly, week 12, a triple header on Thanksgiving Day. And sometimes we scoff at or guffaw. If you watched our video, you know we can use guffaw in a sentence. Sometimes we scoff and guffaw at the schedule on Thanksgiving Day, but this year it's fantastic. The Lions are hosting the Bills back in Detroit. Buffalo has to turn around and go back to Detroit after being there over the weekend. So maybe a little more of a comfort zone, having had to adapt and figure out a way to beat the Browns, even though they weren't in their own stadium for a home game. That's your opener. Then it's the Giants coming off a loss and the Cowboys coming off the most impressive win of the weekend. That's NFC East battle at 4:30 Eastern, though it's 3:30 Central Time, 3:30 Dallas Time. And it wraps up with Minnesota. The Vikings licking their wounds after being humiliated by the Dallas Cowboys. So both those teams are back on the field. And they've got the Patriots, who have won 3 in a row now and are sitting at 6-4, right there in the mix in the AFC East. Every single team in that division is above 500, similar to the NFC East. That's fantastic. Those Eastly, beastly divisions. Are there teams that you trust in the East, whether it be AFC or NFC? All right, at the top of the hour, we're going to welcome former pro soccer goalie Jesse Bradley. He was a guest with us going back, maybe 6 weeks ago or so. And we asked him then if he would mind sharing his expertise with us around the World Cup. And he has agreed. He's going to be a bit of a World Cup analyst and correspondent for us. Again, has played internationally at the pro level. And this is a game for Team USA that got their feet wet. Only one guy on this roster who's ever had World Cup experience. And so I try to remind myself that the team is young, and it certainly was amazing. A goal 8 years in the making. Tim Weah in the first half, late in the first half for the U.S. against Wales.
Musa, Sargent, Pulisic on the run. Pulisic has Weah. Pulisic rolls it in. Tim Weah!
on the outside of his foot. Fantastic angle, the perfect angle to get it past the Welsh keeper. John Strong with the call on Fox Sports. If you wouldn't mind, producer Jay, could you, from Fox or from the U.S. men's national team, share the video of that Tim Weah goal? Again, first World Cup goal for the Americans in 8 years. And it was brilliant. Anytime Pulisic is involved, that's a good thing. This is what he does. He's the best that America has to offer when it comes to soccer. And so they're able to get a lead. They dominate the first half, but late in the second half, there's a penalty in the box, meaning the goalie box. And because of that, it's a penalty kick for one of the best. Now, this is a guy that MLS fans are familiar with, one of the best that Wales has to offer, their number one player. And it's a one-on-one with Matt Turner, the USA keeper.
As Gareth Bale squares off with Park Ridge, New Jersey's Matt Turner. Bale scores!
Oh, man. I'm telling you what. I was a few minutes behind, and I saw Twitter blow up, and my reaction was, no! But then watching that it was a PK was even worse. And I'm not telling you the penalty was not earned. It definitely was. It was a penalty. But man, it was tough to take when they were so close. Captain Tyler Adams speaking to Fox Sports after this one about this inability to get the 3 points and close out the W.
That's football in the end. I'm very proud of the team with the start that we had. We played with a bunch of confidence today, and for a large part of the game, we dominated the game. So for a lot of us, being our first World Cup, you could see an ambitious group, fearless group, and we came after it. But it comes down to the smallest details in the games like this, and yeah, a PK in the end, but we have to keep our heads held high. We go away with a point, and we have to focus on the next game now.
Goalie Matt Turner, he was the one who was in the box and allowed that PK, that kick from Gareth Bale.
You just saw a bunch of disappointed long faces, that's for sure. But I think the message is that there's a lot to be proud of. It was most of our, besides DeAndre, most of our first ever World Cup game, and we came out on fire. We just couldn't sustain it in the second half. We really struggled to get a footing in the game, and credit to them, they made some adjustments, and they're an experienced team, and they were able to get their goal, to get the point that they needed. So for us, it's disappointing. It's a learning experience, as painful as that sounds to the fans. Mm. But yeah, all focus turns to getting us all ready and on the same page for Friday's game against England.
Oh, yes. It's definitely disappointing. But I keep reminding myself it's their first experience for everyone except for DeAndre Yedlin. This is their first experience at the World Cup. And they did get a point. At least they didn't lose. Except for I hate at least in sports. I hate moral victories in sports. No, they needed the 3 points. And so this draw definitely feels more like a loss to me. I was disappointed. I was bummed out. We're going to talk to former pro goalie Jesse Bradley and get his impressions as the U.S. returns to the World Cup. Thanks for hanging out with us after hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
How do we measure road trips? In miles traveled and memories made. In scenic views and back roads that don't show up on your GPS. And in the wrong turns that turn out to be the right decisions. It's not about how far you can go, but how far you're inspired to move. The 2023 Kia Niro Hybrid goes the extra mile with class-leading 53 mpg combined. Farther for all. The all-new 2023 Kia Niro Hybrid. Kia. Movement that inspires. 2023 Niro HEV SX fuel economy claim based on EPA estimated combined fuel economy for entry CUV class. Actual mileage will vary with options, driving conditions, driving habits, and your vehicle's condition. See fueleconomy.gov for more details. How do we measure road trips? In miles traveled and memories made. In scenic views and back roads that don't show up on your GPS. And in the wrong turns that turn out to be the right decisions. It's not about how far you can go, but how far you're inspired to move. The 2023 Kia Niro Hybrid goes the extra mile with class-leading 53 mpg combined. Farther for all. The all-new 2023 Kia Niro Hybrid. Kia. Movement that inspires. 2023 Niro HEV SX fuel economy claim based on EPA estimated combined fuel economy for entry CUV class. Actual mileage will vary with options, driving conditions, driving habits, and your vehicle's condition. See fueleconomy.gov for more details. How do we measure road trips? In miles traveled and memories made. In scenic views and back roads that don't show up on your GPS. And in the wrong turns that turn out to be the right decisions. It's not about how far you can go, but how far you're inspired to move. The 2023 Kia Niro Hybrid goes the extra mile with class-leading 53 mpg combined. Farther for all. The all-new 2023 Kia Niro Hybrid. Kia. Movement that inspires. 2023 Niro HEV SX fuel economy claim based on EPA estimated combined fuel economy for entry CUV class. Actual mileage will vary with options, driving conditions, driving habits, and your vehicle's condition. See fueleconomy.com for more details.